Hey, welcome back to the Friday Night Sports Jam. We're in the Chuck's Boot Studios. Friday nights, 8 to 10, right here. DJ Don Johnson, man of 1,000 voices in the house.
You wait for that one, that's hot.
John Rudolph in the behind the glass.
Holy cow, Tyler, tell you, we got us quite a ball game going on, you know that. And the Cubbies, they aren't atop the way they used to be. Todd, something is definitely wrong. Holy cow.
And joining us now on the Fire Fan phone lines is an individual that covers a variety of high school and prep sports around the St. Louis area in the Metro East. Works for magazine West Magazine and West News Magazine and Mid Rivers News Magazine. And joining us on the Friday Night Sports Jam right now is Mr. Jonathan Duncan. Jonathan, how are you tonight?
Doing pretty good, Tom. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh, we're having a nice evening, you know, getting back from a little vacation and some fun in the sun and, you know, back in the swing of things. It's kind of a quick week, but I wanted to touch base with you. High school football is upon us right now and the fall sports season, and I know you like to cover a lot of fun stuff. You're covering a lot of Legion things and summer sports right now. Can you tell us about some of that, and then we'll segue into some high school football?
Yeah, Ty, well, to kind of wrap up the summer, I just got done with Legion baseball this season. My son was playing for Tillman Booth this summer as a catcher, and so I was balancing that and also covering the West County teams, namely Manchester and Eureka and Chesterfield were main teams. We had Creek Corps drop out this year because they didn't have enough. They didn't have a coach for their varsity team, so they dropped out, and Chesterfield took the place of them. And we had an interesting tournament. We had the District 10 tournament, which was about 3 weeks ago, the week of the 25th of July, I believe it was, July 20th, actually. And Eureka wound up taking that tournament. They got to the zones down in Jackson, and they were out in two games. Lost two games, and they were done. So 23-24-11 season, never a good season, but they were done pretty quick in the zones. The Southeast Missouri team is dominated, as they usually do down there.
Fantastic. Jonathan Duncan joining us. And I'm looking at, I'm trying to find the, you know, like the rankings and things of the Metro East. And year in and year out, you've got your CBCs and you've got your big schools. You've got your Parkway North and in the Class 4. But there's a terrible injury that just happened to Cameron Babb, wide receiver, defensive back for CBC. And I just feel so terrible for the young man. He's banged up a little bit before in the past, but I mean, he's probably going to miss the whole year, injured in, you know, preseason workouts. What do you think that's going to happen to his recruiting, because he's got all the big schools in the nation coming after Cameron Babb?
I think there's going to be a major wait and see attitude with him coming out of the injury. I think a lot of schools are going to look real closely at what type of rehab he has and how the rehab goes. And then after they get medical evaluations from his doctor, they're going to proceed with caution as far as offering him a scholarship. I'm not sure there'll be a lot of the major D1 schools that want to make him an offer based on the injury history, because he had the injury last year that cost him, it's like, I think it was 6 to 8 games. And then again this year, he's out for the year, so it puts him in a tough spot. It's really, really a sad, unfortunate situation that happened so close to the start of the season.
Now, this is Don Johnson. I'm just curious. Do you think in this situation that this kind of shows a kind of grimace situation, as far as I'm concerned, that you get a kid, he's just in one sport, and something like this happens to him, and that might wipe out what his future at the collegiate level could be as to having the season so that a student can be in more than one sport, and that he can have time to broaden his horizons. So if he doesn't want to play in this sport and the scholarships are not there, he has an opportunity now. But when you have all these preseasons and these summer leagues that everybody has to be in right now, it limits an athlete to just one sport.
Yeah, Don, I've not been a big fan of that for a long time. I mean, it's really not healthy to just have one sport to play in. I think that guys or ladies should be in different sports across the board to use different muscles to stay in shape. And the way it is now with the specialization you talked about, it's gotten to the point where the kids are doing one thing the entire year, and there's almost no downtime for them. It's like they don't have time to be a kid and enjoy life. and I don't think that's fair to them.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So what's it looking like? I know you've got the big teams coming back. You've got your CBCs and your Chaminades and your Parkway Norse. You know, from what you know and remember from last year, who's going to be solid this year? Who should we look out for? Is there any names of kids that, you know, maybe, you know, might be take a team to a new level or a surprise guy?
As far as surprise guys, I'm looking at, I kind of do a little bit of a top seven list as far as teams with Parkway Central, Parkway North, CBC, and Chaminade. And then for Zumwalt North, everybody's kind of expecting them to be down this year, but they're going to be decent again. They've got a lot of talent back. Jack Edder, their wide receiver last year, is taking over quarterback from Kay Brister. And they've got Jalen Vaughn back at running back, who's going to be good. Kadir and Jay is pretty good for them. And then a name that probably some people didn't hear about last year a lot, Vernell Rue, whose nickname is King. He's their wide receiver. He's going to be pretty good this year, too, for them as well. Looking at Vianney, they're going to be pretty solid again. They've got a lot of returning guys. But the big ones are quarterback Deion Harris, 11th state championship last year, class 5. He's going to be really strong again this year. They're going to lean him a lot offensively to lead that group. And Chaminade's got Trevor Trout, who's going to be a standout, getting a lot of D1 offers. He's got an offer from Alabama, Texas, and Mizzou and the likes of those schools, along with Marcus Greer's teammate, who's an offensive guard senior. He's going to be pretty strong this year as well for them. And then with CBC, the cover's not totally bare. You know, they released Cameron Babb. They still have Brett Gabbert back this year, along with Tyler Walton and Cameron Brown, a wide receiver. So they'll still be explosive and be able to get a lot of points offensively.
Very good. Jonathan and, Duncan joining us. Yeah, go on.
Okay, and then Parkway North, they've got some good talent back with Jelani Williams, the quarterback. He started eight games for him as a freshman when Luke Hertzler went down. So he's going back behind center this year after being a running back the last couple of years. And they've got a couple other guys back. Michael Thompson's going to be the big one on defense. They're big defensive lineman. He's being recruited by several schools. And they should be strong again this year. They've got six guys back both ways, so they should be a force to deal with in class 5.
Fantastic. What about Illinois? There's always some strong teams over there as well. Sometimes we don't give the Illinois side as much coverage as we'd like to. I know Edwardsville is always strong over there. East St. Louis looks pretty good. Can you fill us in on any of the east side schools?
Yeah, Edwardsville, they've got Ryan Cowley and Reginald Wilson coming back. They're going to be a little bit younger, but they expect to be strong again. And they've got Matt Griffin back this year, as well as Drew Johnson and Devin Parker. These are all guys that played some last year that will step into bigger roles for them this year. And, of course, East St. Louis is, as we know, East St. Louis, they tend to bring it every year. And they've got a couple of good ones coming back. Their running backs are both back. Jarrell Anderson and Kevin Brown are both senior running backs, and they were two of their top three scorers last year, touchdown-wise. So they're going to be strong. And then their wide receiver, Charlotte Robinson, is back. He had 497 yards receiving last year, 5 touchdowns, so he'll be a force down the field for him and out of the backfield.
Fantastic. So, and, yeah, go on.
I got a question
and
for you.
And then also in the small schools over in Illinois, should look out for Columbia, Illinois. They year in, year out have one of the best small school teams over there in the lower classes. They have won the Cokie Conference Championship the last 5 years running.
Well, I got a question for you, seeing with your infinite wisdom. What do you think? Do they have anything dealing with targeting to kind of prevent injuries on the high school level?
I really haven't seen a whole lot of that done, Don. I know the coaches do try to coach them up to hit basically from the shoulders, from the chest to the knees. And it hasn't been as big a problem. I mean, once in a while you have games where it gets a little carried away, but the kids do a pretty good job policing themselves on that. You don't see a whole lot of dirty help when they're able to hit to the high school level. Coaches are really, really big on making sure the kids are doing it the right way and not trying to hurt each other, because they know any kind of helmet contact is not good for the players at all.
That's great news. Thanks.
Now, how long have you been covering high school sports, Jonathan?
Oh, God. About 26 years, 26 the last 30 years, going okay. back to 87.
Okay, so let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott a little bit. I had a chance to broadcast some of his games when he was a junior player, you know, like playing for mm-hmm. Matthews Dickey. I think that's who he played for. And then we all followed him at John Burroughs.
I covered him at Burroughs for a couple of years.
Yeah, you covered him at Burroughs. What kind of a guy was he? Was he an affable kid? You know, because he's... seems to have is getting a pattern of things going his wrong way. I'm feeling terrible for him right now. Some of it he's bringing on himself. Like, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, he pulled up the girl's shirt and showed the boob. You know, that's after being during an investigation into domestic assault. And, you know, I mean, everybody smokes weed, so you know, you probably give him a pass on that one.
I'm clean, Todd. I'm totally clean.
No, I'm just kidding. But it just seems like if they would just legalize marijuana, then a lot of problems with these players would go away. And a lot of them think that it's a great pain medication, and the NFL seems to be looking into it. But but what kind of a guy was Ezekiel? I talked to his coach. They all seemed to really like him. But, you know, did you ever see anything with Zeke? Was he a hothead, or was he just laid-back kid, or was he, you know, I don't know. What was he like?
Yeah, that's kind of what's blowing me away with this whole thing. I got to know Zeke pretty well the 2 years he was at Burroughs, at least junior and senior year, because I was there when they made their state run the year that he lost the state, and I'd never met a more passionate young man and a more considerate, down-to-earth young man in my life than Ezekiel Elliott. And it just boggles my mind that all this BS is coming up now. But I mean, I think there's a little bit of jealousy towards him, and I think there are certain people in the league that don't like him and are trying to make him look bad at whatever cost they can to do it, because the Ezekiel Elliott I knew when he was at John Burroughs was down-to-earth, polite, very outgoing, very friendly, very accommodating, never had anything negative to say about him. He was always in a good mood, always smiled, always joking, always having fun.
I go back to the Ohio State game when he wasn't in the game, he wasn't playing enough, and he got benched, and he was crying on the sideline, and he was really upset with the head coach. And that was the first, like, thing I saw, you know, negative about Ezekiel, because I thought he handled mm-hmm. that situation poorly, although the head coach did say of Ohio State that Zeke should have got more carries in that game, they probably would have mm-hmm. won the game. So he was mm-hmm. upset because he wasn't in there, because he wanted to help the team, but he mm-hmm. he kind of pouted a lot about it. And sometimes in when you have coaches and things, they're trying to prove a point, and they try to get you out of your element, and I think they do it on purpose to get in your head a little bit and to teach them who's boss.
They want you to suck it up, Todd.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yep. I tend to agree with that. And I think in this case, it seems like there's a little more maturity that needs to happen, because he's got to understand he's at a level now where everything he does is under a microscope. It's going to be blown up 10 times. He goes to the bathroom and takes a dump, it's going to be blown up 10 times. It's just how it is for him. And he's got to understand that if he's going to do stuff, he's got to be smart about how he does it and not push himself in a situation that he's in now.
You know, you think about some of the other guys, Ray Rice. I mean, he hasn't played since he knocked out his girlfriend in the elevator. There was a big hissy fit that he only
girlfriend
got two
and
games.
A wife.
Why? Yeah, his companion. Yeah, he knocked her out cold, and she didn't press charges against him. And she was mouthing off to him and saying all this BS and getting under his skin. And he's like, just shut up. Now, you can't do that. But, you know,
he could have put his hands in his ears, Todd.
I think there's a lot of these women out there, I think they're baiters. I think they know that you can't touch them. So they just sit there and they just talk and they talk smack and they just sit there and, you know, you might be having a drink or something. And they just keep going on and on and on and on and on and on. And it doesn't justify it. And it's terrible that he did it. But it seems like if anybody accuses of somebody, an athlete of doing something, all of a sudden the athlete's suspended before, you know, everybody, they convict him in their mind without knowing
guilty.
The whole story.
Guilty until proven innocent, unfortunately, in this country now, it seems like.
We're talking about Colin Kaepernick on the way over today. What are your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick?
Please, please tell us.
I think I agreed with Harold Lewis, the NFL agent, who said he's dropped a lot of weight. He doesn't, you know, he's dropped muscle mass. He's now a vegan. He doesn't eat meat. And he's dating a pretty controversial, Muslim hater woman or actually a Christian hater
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, see, see,
sorry,
you got it wrong. Bad. Thanks, Todd.
Sorry. I'm not perfect by any means. But now, so is this a, I don't know, is it the fact that he's lost all this weight, he doesn't eat meat, he's not as good as he used to be, or is it because
How do you know he's not as good as he used to be?
Well, because look at the statistics. He was terrible 2 years ago, and last year he did all right when he was in there.
Look
but
at some of the quarterbacks that are playing that aren't as good as they used to be.
I originally thought he was pouting because he got beat out. And then he was pouting. And then instead of saying, well, I'm a poor sport, I don't think I should have been beat out, that he just came up with that. And then maybe he just ran with it. That was my original theory. But he's, you know, gone on this this for a long time.
They had changed coaches too, right, Todd?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had changed coaches.
I rest my case.
The Ravens actually pulled their fans to see what the the reaction was. So,
which blew me away. I couldn't believe that at all.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I was blown away, too. This is America.
Do you think they're worried about the backlash? Because they don't care if you if you beat up women. You can hit women and be back in four games. But if
hit them or knock them out.
You know, you can beat up women. You can be a rapist. You can sexually abuse kids. But if you take a stand against police or social stand of any kind, that makes you a bad guy, and I think that's garbage. He's better than three-quarters of the guys that are playing now. They're starters or backups, just on natural ability alone. So why is he not signed somewhere playing, making money?
Thank you, sir.
It's because they don't like his politics. It's plain and simple.
Ryan Tannehill is going to have surgery. Will miss the season. So what do the Dolphins do? They go out and they sign Jay Cutler, who's not even practicing.
Now, what about this guy that they got from the indoor league? He's a quarterback, and they give him a job. Now, what NFL experience does he have?
None, I think of.
Thank you. So how is Kaepernick sitting around?
Yeah, it's a shame what's going on with Kaepernick. There's really no excuse for it. It's just the owners being stubborn and not seeing they have a blessing right in front of them. Instead of taking that blessing, they're being foolish and going with somebody just out of spite.
I mean, wait a minute. For me, just to sit on the sideline, not do the Pledge of Allegiance, what's wrong with that? Todd and I discussed that a little bit earlier. I mean, if you look at it.
I mean, it's free expression.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to Tommy Smith and that situation at the Olympics, all they did was held their glove up. They didn't spit on the flag or anything like that.
Exactly.
And look what they tried to do to them. I hate to say blackball because that gives the wrong idea at all, but that's what some people write. But look at that situation. Yeah. Now, what did the nation do about that? What did our leading men, look at Muhammad Ali. What did he say?
Exactly.
They didn't call me the N-word. I don't want to go over there and fight. Was that part of our Constitution that a man could object to going to something like that based on his religion?
Nope.
Not if he looked like me. He couldn't do that.
No, exactly.
In the land of the home and the brave and the free.
How about that? Let's move on. Big trade today in the NFL. The Bills, Rams, Eagles, all involved here. Sammy Watkins headed to Los Angeles. Now Jared Goff has a possible legitimate number one. I mean, he's been throwing to Kenny Britt last year. Tavon Austin, Kenny Britt's a good player, but you know, he had a really good year a few years ago with the Titans, and I thought he was going to be an elite receiver, and he's got elite talent. But now you're going to add – He'll probably drop to number two or number three. The Rams have re-signed Tavon Austin, put a lot of money on him, and I don't think he's deserved the money that they gave him.
Stan and his regime know what they're doing out there.
And they're giving away a top cornerback, E.J. Gaines, who played for Mizzou. But it looks like
good player.
Everybody, I think that's a key loss for Mizzou. But Sammy Watkins has been hurt. He's had health issues. He's a very good talent. Buffalo moved up in the draft to get him. You know,
he's
moved up picks.
He's had a hard time staying on the field the last couple of years.
He's had a hard time staying on the field. And, you know, with the Rams and the way they do things, I wouldn't be surprised if he hurt his foot again and, you know, in preseason and, you know, and misses substantial time this year. On the bright side, but people are upset in Buffalo. People think that, and ESPN's reporting that, you know, in some articles here today, that they think that this is going to hurt Tyrod Taylor a lot. It's going to kill Tyrod Taylor.
I don't know about that. I mean, Buffalo's got to have some talent around Tyrod Taylor to make that happen. And if you're relying on just Sammy Watkins, they don't have much of a receiver core in him. Because Sammy Watkins hasn't been anything special outside of the fact that he's got speed and he's got some talent. Talent is great, but if you can't stay on the field, it doesn't matter.
Now, with this situation, the way we have it now, with them playing on Thursday, they have less time for their injuries to heal. Is this to be expected that people are going to have a shorter time in the NFL because they're running them down for the Thursday game and not letting them heal from Monday till Saturday night or Sunday?
Oh, Don, I totally agree with that. I mean, it's crazy. And the other thing, too, I don't know if you all have noticed, but the last couple of years, the product has been worn down so bad on Thursday. A lot of people don't even want to watch halftime. I don't want to watch on Thursday night because it's usually a craptastic game. It's usually horrible.
Yeah, you know, they put the games, they line them up in the beginning of the year, but there's not enough marquee matchups. I mean, on Sunday, you got your marquee matchups, but the Thursday games, you know, a lot of times you'd have, I remember the Rams, you would catch a Thursday game, it'd be like a big deal, you know, but nobody would want to watch it because it was the Rams, you know, so I think it's just, it's too watered down. I know the NFL, I guess outside of holidays and playoffs, I think the rule was with I guess the government, Congress, you cannot play on Fridays because that would kill the colleges. You know, you play on Saturday. Well, it would kill the high schools on Friday if you play.
Yeah.
And then on Saturdays, you know, you're hurting the college game. So you play on Sundays. And then the Monday night thing was okay. I always thought they should do, if you had the Monday night game or the Thursday night game, then your bye should be the week after that.
But you
if you have the short week, that's your bye week. And then it's not a short week. It's a long week.
But if you're going to play on Thursday, then you can't play on Monday.
Well, I don't think anybody's ever played Thursday to Monday. I mean, I think that's got to be against the law there. So anyway, well, hey, Jonathan, anything else you want to discuss? You got ready? Anything? I know there's a bunch of jamborees going on tonight. High school football is upon us. And the kids are out there knocking heads already.
Yep. Jamborees are going tonight at Parkway Central and Parkway North, and also Francis Howell and Parkway West and Fort Zumwalt North, and they're all complete now. They all started at 5, 6, and 7:30 tonight. So a lot of those coaches got a chance to look firsthand at their players and see who they have that might be a diamond in the rough beyond the first and second string. And it's a good chance for those coaches to get those guys out there because a lot of those guys don't get to play during the regular season, so they get some good work in. They can see what they have going into the regular season and see how guys handle game conditions and whatnot.
I went to Parkway West, and we had some guys that went on and played pretty in big-time college and so forth. And I understand they've got a sophomore there that might be coming up and doing some playing named Giovanni Minio.
Whoa.
He was the freshman stud running back last year, and now he's on the JV team. But he's been so impressive in the training camp, you know, in the practices and things that they're going to bring him up to the varsity roster. So think of that name, remember that in the next couple of years as a possible kid that's he's got a real bright future. He's going to have a good baseball career as well. And folks, while we're on that topic, make sure you go to Paul Minio's at Westport Plaza, 314.
Stop, Todd. You're making me hungry.
8182 at Paul Minio's. They've got house-made specialties like the lasagna. Mamma mia. How about that? They have the stuffed filet, 8-ounce tenderloin of beef, stuffed with shrimp and crab meat, finished off with a portobello mushroom and cognac sauce. They've got Chilean sea bass.
About the fillets, Todd. Come on, get to it.
Dusted Italian breadcrumbs, flash fried, finished with lemon, olive oil, garlic, and sliced portobello mushrooms.
Stop!
Like cannelloni, house-made sauces and dressings. All at Paul Minio's at Westport. They've got a fantastic patio dining. It's great for anniversaries, birthdays, special occasions, corporate outings, and big groups. Say you want to go to the Westport Playhouse, go to Paul Minio's for your
dining experience.
So there you go. Anything else for you, Don? Jonathan Duncan.
Yeah, don't get us mixed up, Todd.
No problem.
Do you cover any other high school sports in the fall or just football?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing, I've got soccer going up next weekend and softball too. So I'll be doing those and probably a little bit of volleyball as well. So I'll be busy with a few things this fall.
So what are you looking forward to soccer? Soccer is a big deal here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Well, soccer, CBC, of course, and Chaminade are always really good in the West County area. And I'm also going to be looking closely at Francis Howell and Fort Zumwalt South and St. Dominic. And covering those guys as well. So we'll be looking at those schools really closely this fall in soccer.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us on the Friday Night Sports Jam with Don and I.
Jonathan.
Yeah. What is this, Rollerball?
Sounds like it. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for all your insight on the high school scene, and we'll touch base with you, in the middle of it somewhere.
Sounds good. Just give me a shout.
Appreciate it. Jonathan Duncan on the Friday Night Sports Jam. If you want to get involved tonight, give us a call on the Fire Fan phone line at 855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255. When we come back, we're going to be talking of some breaking news. There's a lawsuit now with public funding on the Scott Trade Center. That's not a good thing, but we'll see. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about fantasy football, some of the top players available, that and much, much more on the Friday Night Sports Jam. And welcome back to the show. It's the Friday Night Sports Jam, heard every Friday night right here in the Chuck's Boot Studios. If you want to chime in on any of the topics tonight, give us a call at 855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255. I'd like to thank Jonathan Duncan for calling in.
Great job.
Yeah, he knows a lot about the local scene, and we beat to death a lot of the top, topics of the day. And so it's nice to switch it up a little bit and talk some prep stuff here with some of the guys in the know. Right now, public funding, this just in a couple hours ago, an article by Mike Falk of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, public funding for Scott Trade Center faces a lawsuit, and the comptroller is against this. So this isn't a good thing for the St. Louis Blues right now. They've got a three-year, $64 million renovation of Scott Trade Center that has been approved by the Board of Aldermen and by the E&A Board. And the E&A Board is the Estimate and Apportionment Board, and it's made up of the mayor of the city of St. Louis, the president of the Board of Aldermen, and the comptroller. So it's voted in, and there's a lawsuit filed today, August 11th, on behalf of Alderwoman Kara Spencer, former State House Representative Jeanette Oxford, along with former City Councilor James Wilson. And Darlene Green is saying she has absolutely no intention of signing the financial agreement. She said that it's not going to happen. She says, quote, the comptroller has not approved the transaction to issue bonds for the renovation of Scott Trade Center, as it would incur debt to the city's general fund for non-essential services and will negatively impact the city's credit, unquote, Green spokesman Tyson Pruitt said. In a statement from the Keel Partners, the Blues and the ownership group called the lawsuit frivolous and said Green has a legal obligation to sign the finance agreement. So she won't write the checks, and the work has already started. I mean, they've already torn out the, the ice-making pipes underneath the ice, at Scott Trade Center to keep the ice frozen. So, I mean, the work is it's going on right now. In a prepared statement, Deputy City Councilor Michael Garvin said the city would not comment on this litigation. And he said, we will vigorously defend the city, its ordinances, and agreements. Wow. That's pretty amazing that we've got a rogue comptroller.
I don't know. You got to kind of think about that. There's a lot of people that use that building. And I know the hockey team is going to be one of the major ones. But do the rest of them have to pay some money or get some write-offs too?
I don't know. Under a 1992 agreement, the plaintiffs argue the city's ownership of the building is limited to what is called a bare legal title, where the Blues have exclusive control over the property for 50 years. I tell you what, though. Does that
include the finances of it also?
I don't know. Aldermen who supported public financing for the renovations argued earlier this year the city is obligated to pay because the city owns the building. But opponents say the lease essentially grants the building to the Blues through 2042. And the original ordinance passed by the Board of Aldermen in 1992 also noted the city was entering the agreement because it did not have the funds to renovate the former Keel Auditorium. So actually with interest and bonds and things, this is expected to cost the city over $105 million over 30 years.
Who will benefit from it?
Well, the St. Louis Blues and the fans. And I think, you know, they're trying to attract, you know, the Missouri Valley Conference holds their tournaments there right now. You know, they want to keep that up to par. The St. Louis Sports Commission, they want to bring big events to St. Louis. So they've got to have the building up to speed, you know, with other comparable buildings that are bidding on big NCAA events, you know, like NCAA basketball and, you know, wrestling and things like that. So we'll see what happens. The Blues only pay $1 a year in rent.
Oh, a whole dollar?
They pay a dollar. So
is that in change?
You know, the Blues almost moved to Saskatoon.
Okay.
Back in the day until Harry Ornest, you know, pretty much rescued and saved the Blues. The Blues missed a whole draft. So, you know, we'll see what happens. The suit was filed in the 22nd court in St. Louis, and it has been assigned to Judge Robert Durker Jr. From an article today in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch by Mike Falk.
What are the citizens saying, though? If you want to do this deal, you pay for all this stuff.
Well, there was a huge...
That's what we're doing with football stadiums now. You want this stadium, okay, you pay for it, not us. Because why? You get sick of us, you'll leave. If you buy it, you'll stay.
Well, I'd say there was a huge argument earlier this year with the aldermen. I mean, it was kind of like 15-12 or something. I mean, it was a heated debate, you know, discussing this.
It was a lot of money involved, though.
Well, and it's a split, too. I mean, it was like, almost half the aldermen did not want to do it, and then over half did. And then the approval with the ENA board put it over the top. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And it always seems to be some controversy when it comes to financing and things like that. So we'll see what happens, and hopefully they can get this together. Anyway, it's fantasy football time right now. We're going to take a look at...
Say it.
What? We're going to take a look at some of the some of the top position players in the fantasy draft. Don, if you're a fantasy football player, who would you draft first overall?
Oh, if I had a choice, I think I would go with that's a hard one. Who would I draft?
I'd say the first pick.
I'd say Ezekiel Elliott. I'm sorry. I'm not down.
I know, but he's going to miss six games, at least four probably.
You asked me who I would vote for, Todd. Not the perfect circumstances.
I didn't ask you who you were going to vote for.
That's who I would pick. Okay, that's who I pick. Okay, I'm sorry about voting. That's who I would pick. You got me on that one.
Oh, that's funny. Well, anyway, we'll take a look at the top 10 quarterbacks right now. Aaron Rodgers, number one. And usually in fantasy football, most people don't take quarterbacks right off the top. It depends on how the scoring goes in the league. But I'm thinking if Le'Veon Bell, I think Antonio Brown will probably go number one in our league. So we're looking at Antonio. We'll go wide receivers first because these guys put up a lot of points. The wide receivers do. And there's some really good ones. Antonio Brown, I mean, he's just at the top of his game right now. He is the quintessential professional wide receiver. He plays for a great offense. He's got a great quarterback. He's got a good line, and he's got parts around him. Now, if Martavis can come back this year, from his drug suspension and be productive, and if Le'Veon Bell can just sign with a team, he's franchise tagged for $12 million. He's got no leverage. He can either make $12 million and play, or he can sit out and not make anything.
And spend the money that he has.
It's pretty crazy. So the top 114 experts were polled in the Fantasy Football Pros Football Cheat Sheet. And so, the fantasy drafts, some of them are going to be this weekend. Ours isn't going to be till the 26th. But you have to look at Antonio Brown. Odell Beckham Jr. is number two on the wide receivers. Julio Jones, A.J. Green. Of those four right there, I would be happy to have any one of those four guys on my roster.
I'll agree with you.
Brown, Beckham Jr., Julio Jones, A.J. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of those. The next five, Mike Evans, great upside. He's got Jameis Winston there throwing him, spinning the ball down in Tampa Bay. Jordy Nelson, he's rated number six, but he's coming off a big injury, so we'll see how that goes. Michael Thomas rates at number seven, T.Y. Hilton eight, Dez Bryant number nine, and Amari Cooper rounds out the top 10. So those are all pretty good prospects as far as you go you know, as far as the wide receivers. You know, what are your thoughts on those?
I just have to agree with you, Todd. I mean, you are the guy that knows all about the inside. I don't know about that.
I'm looking here at some of the other guys, Doug Baldwin, Amari Cooper, number 10. You got Doug Baldwin, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks at number 13. I think he's going to have a huge year. Brandon Cooks coming over from New Orleans. I don't think he was used enough. They always have so many weapons down there. But Brandon Cooks going to New England, I think he's just going to have a huge year. Demaryius Thomas, I think he's going to have a better year this year than he did last year. He was a little bit down last year. And Sammy Watkins, before he was traded, was ranked the 18th top receiver in the draft. So he'll probably drop because he's got to play for the Rams. Now we'll talk about quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is the best overall quarterback. I think as far as Tom Brady is a great quarterback. I mean, he's, you know, the Super Bowl MVP. He's just one of the greatest players of all time.
What about Carr?
Yeah, well, we'll get to him.
Okay.
But Aaron Rodgers, he's got legs. He can run. So Aaron Rodgers can actually get you scrambling yards, and he can, score running touchdowns, and he puts up a lot of points. Tom Brady ranked number 2 quarterback in the draft. Drew Brees, number 3. Drew Brees, a guy, he just keeps going. Brady and Brees, these guys are getting up there pushing 40 years old. Brady, I think, is 40, or he's about to turn 40. Then you got Russell Wilson. I think he's ranked a little bit too high here. Russell Wilson, number 4, although he can really, he might put up 250 yards passing, but he might have 75 and a touchdown rushing as well. So as far as that goes, Matt Ryan's number 5. I think Matt Ryan, to me, it could be number 2 or number 3. You know, when he's got Julio Jones to throw to, he's got a great running situation there. You got Andrew Luck at number 6, Kirk Cousins at number 7, Marcus Mariota is moving up the ranks with Tennessee at number 8, Jameis Winston number 9, and Cam Newton's all the way down at 10.
What?
I guarantee
the
you,
Camster?
In our league, the Beer Belly League, going on, I think, our 25th or 26th season, Cam Newton usually goes pretty high because he runs the ball. But this year, with his shoulder injuries and injuries from the past couple of years, you know, he likes to run, and he's a good runner. So, you know, he's a big guy, hard to take down, Don. So people really, they just tee off on him. I mean, they really do. They tee off on this guy, and I think that's why he's hurt. I wouldn't be surprised if he played, if he didn't play at all in the preseason.
Where are the officials at when somebody's teeing off on the quarterback? Are they teeing off on all of them or
just the black ones? Him? Yeah, just the black ones.
Now, see, I didn't mention color, but I'm thankful for it. You doing it. No?
Well, Ben Roethlisberger gets teed off on quite a bit himself. He's a big, strong guy, too. He just takes all kinds of shots. Tom Brady, he's just got such a great line. I guarantee you, Don, these guys that are teeing off on Cam Newton, they want to tee off on Brady and wipe that smirk off his face more than anything.
I think there's some quarterbacks that are protected by the officials. I'm sorry.
But Tom Brady, he doesn't run. He sits back there in the rocking chair and throws. He's got 5, 6, 7 seconds to throw. Cam, he gets a little bit of a rush. He runs outside the pocket. Now he's a running back. And when you're a running back outside the pocket, you are going to get teed off on.
Depends upon the way you land, though, isn't it? Whether you're doing the slide or otherwise, you're not supposed to put their hands on you.
Roethlisberger all the way down at number 11, and Derek Carr is number 12. So, you know, if you get one of these guys, you're in probably pretty good shape as far as that goes. Tyrod Taylor, he was at 16. I think he's going to drop, because of he's losing Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver. Then you got to look at Matthew Stafford at number 15. Matthew Stafford will probably be the highest paid player in the league when he signs his contract, if he hasn't signed it already. Carson Palmer down at 19. Guess who the worst-rated NFL starting quarterback is going into the 2017 season?
Let's have it.
I just want you to take a guess.
I can't. There's too many.
Jared Goff. Los Angeles Rams.
No.
Yes.
They didn't do that to the Goffster.
The Goffster. He's the number one pick. The Rams give away the house for this guy.
It never rains in Southern California.
We'll see what happens, though, now. So Jared Goff's got a guy he can throw to, so let's see if he stays healthy. Running backs moving right along. The top-rated running back out of 114 fantasy football experts came up with David Johnson of Arizona. Solid guy there. The Arizona Cardinals are a good team. They should
be
a playoff team.
Yeah.
And he's very good. He can catch the ball. He can run. Le'Veon Bell's number two. I would put him at number one, although he's holding out right now. And a lot of times when you hold out, you get hurt because you're not practicing with a team. You're not there. You're not getting hit with. You're not getting hit at the same time everybody else is getting hit. They're 2-3 weeks ahead of you getting banged up, getting in football shape.
You got to get out of the soreness. You're
you
right.
got to get, you know, it's weird because the first couple days or weeks of football practice, you're sore.
The worst.
You always are.
That's the worst
time. But in the middle of the season, you just kind of get numb to it. It's just, you know, you just have an ache and you just go about your business, you know, because you're used to it. You're getting knocked on the ground, getting up and on the ground, getting up.
Well, we got the cold whirlpools and everything else that you can kind of let the bruises go down with.
We'll see what happens with Le'Veon Bell. LeSean McCoy at number three. Melvin Gordon with the Los Angeles Chargers. God, it's hard to say. Devonta Freeman, Atlanta, number five. Jay Ajayi, a guy came on really strong last year for the Miami Dolphins. But, you know, with their quarterback situation down there, you know, I if Kaepernick was going to get signed, I thought the Dolphins would be the team because Ryan Tannehill's out for the season. Jay Cutler, man, here's a guy that's got a job, a cush job in the booth. He's preparing to be an analyst, and he just quits and says, nah, you know what, I'm going to go play for the Dolphins. He's another guy people like to tee off on. He's got that smug look on his face, so people want to knock him down. And he's not in shape. So I could see Jay Cutler easily getting hurt, and then what? And then maybe Kaepernick will get a look. Who knows? Jordan Howard of Chicago, number seven. Ezekiel Elliott is down to number eight right now. He was at eight before the suspension, but I think everybody knew he was going to miss a couple of games.
But he's preserving himself, Todd. He'll be fresh when he comes back.
That's what I was saying earlier. Then DeMarco Murray, number nine, Todd Gurley. So basically what you want to do is if you like Ezekiel Elliott and you can get him maybe in the third or fourth round, then you want to make sure you get Darren McFadden. You get the backup running back, you want to get their backup running back, whoever it is, and that's the way you want to roll. So as far as defenses go, should we do defense next? Yeah, why not? We'll do defenses next, except for it starts with number four. I printed on both sides of the paper. Here we go. Well, I don't see it. Okay, defense is Denver is rated the top defense. The Seattle Seahawks, they're always tough. Kansas City Chiefs, great defense year in and year out. Andy Reid's a hell of a coach. The Texans, Vikings, Arizona Cardinals. See, Arizona Cardinals in defense, they've really improved over there. I never thought of Arizona synonymous with defense. But then the Patriots, Carolina Panthers, New York Giants, and the Jacksonville Jags. Now, just outside of the top 10, the Los Angeles Rams. How about that?
No, where's the Kansas City Chiefs?
The Kansas City Chiefs, if you were listening, Don, were – let's see. They were number
If I was
two or three.
Right.
You weren't listening. They're number three. The third highest rated defense.
That's what I wanted to hear again.
Okay, you wanted to hear it again. Okay. And the lowest rated defenses are the Bears, Colts, and the New Orleans Saints. So there you have it with that. As far as kickers, Justin Tucker is the top rated kicker with Baltimore. Gostkowski with the Patriots. Dan Bailey of Dallas. Dallas is going to put up some points. Matt Bryant, you know they're going to put up a lot of points with that high-powered offense. Mason Crosby from Green Bay. Adam Vinatieri. Caro Santos of Kansas City. Matt Prater. Sebastian Janikowski. And Will Lutz of November. So, Don, are you ready for fantasy football?
Down. Set one. Hut one. Hut two. I'm ready.
All right.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare states.
Everybody pulled his weight. Gee, our old LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
And you're listening to the Friday Night Sports Jam right here on KFNS 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 FM HD2. It's the Friday Night Sports Jam wrapping things up. Got about 10 minutes to go. DJ Don Johnson, Todd Blackstock here, John Rudolph behind the glass over there in the safety net. Love having him here. He makes things go by really smoothly. Anyway, right now it's time for On This Day.
Dun, 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 dun.
On this day, in 1919, the Green Bay Packers are founded. They're founded by George Calhoun and Curly Lambeau, and they name the team after their sponsor, Indian Packing Company.
How?
So there you have it. The Packers are named after the Indian Packing Company, and they were founded in 1919 on this day.
In 1929, Babe Ruth became the first professional ball player to hit 500 home runs.
500 home runs?
It's out of here.
That's a lot of home runs, Don.
Dun, 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 dun.
On this day in 1951, the first baseball game was televised in color on WCBS in New York City. The Boston Braves beat the Brooklyn Dodgers 8-1 in that game.
Dun, 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 dun.
On this day.
In 1950, the great Joe DiMaggio was benched for the first time after batting 279. What was the coach thinking about?
279? I mean, right. That's like people get raises in this day and age for hitting 279.
He got benched for doing something right?
Hey, that's so high. Here, put that on the table, man. There you go, Don.
Dun, 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 dun.
On this day in 1980, Reggie Jackson hits his 400th home run off Chicago pitcher Britt Burns.
Holy cow, can you believe it? It's back over the outfield wall. Back, it's out of here.
Reggie Jackson was a hell of a player. He was great. I remember when he came up with the A's, man. I was reading a book about him, and Charlie Finley spent all kinds of money to get him over there, and then I remember the three home runs back-to-back-to-back in the World Series. Reggie Jackson, what a player.
On this day in 1962, the Dodgers protest wetting down Candlestick Park to slow down Maury Wills, that great base stealer.
Maury Wills was a great player. Maury Wills, I remember when Lou Brock was going after Maury Wills back in the 70s, late 70s. Lou Brock was going after Maury Wills, single season record and all-time record, and Lou got it. And then Ricky Henderson came along, you know, a few years after that and took care of all Lou's records.
For one thing to think about, Todd, you finally get recognition for stealing.
Stealing. Hey, you know what, though? Maury Wills, do you think that's unfair to water down an infield to detract from a base stealer? Because I used to do it to Lou Brock all the time. That's kind of like one of the tricks to the trades. You know, if you're the home team, should you be allowed to water down the field to stop base stealing? I mean, they watered the field before the games now anyway.
Who said we wanted to play fair, Todd?
Hmm.
Dun, well, dun, dun, dun!
On this day, in 1984, Carl Lewis wins 4 gold medals to duplicate Jesse Owens' feat from 1936. I'd say that Carl Lewis was a hell of a player.
He could step, I'm telling you.
He could run. Just the crazy thing about him, though, Carl, was that he couldn't sing the national anthem.
You can't be everything, Todd. Come on.
Remember when he tried to
sing
the national anthem?
Probably couldn't tap dance either.
That was horrible.
But let's look at the guy that I know. Ivory Crockett was in that same type of class, but he didn't get to go to the big dance.
Ivory Crockett, one of the fastest men in the world at one time.
Thank you.
Webster Groves, was he a Webster guy?
Right.
Right?
He came from Brentwood and went to Webster.
And, okay. So how was he bust over there or what?
No, he lived over there for a while and he moved with his...
Into his cousin or...
Yeah, he moved with his aunt over in Webster, and that's how we got to
meet
each other.
They had a better track team. He was a good player.
Dun, 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 dun! 1968, Satchel Paige, at 62 years old, the age he signed with the Braves, and he needed 158 days on a major league roster for payroll to qualify for a pension. The man was working for his pension at 62, Todd.
Well, he didn't get
when
to play.
When is enough enough?
Well, he was probably 40-something as a rookie. You know, so he had to.
He could rock and chair.
Play a, he had to play a certain amount of years to get your pension.
In between those innings, he could get in his rocking chair, Todd, and watch the game.
Oh, man, that's funny. All righty. Well, folks, we'd like to wish a big happy 64th birthday to Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, 64 today. And happy 52nd birthday to former NHL player Mark Bergeron.
He shoots, he scores!
How about that? Don, anything else on your side?
No, Todd. I just want everybody to enjoy the weekend. Don't drink and drive, please. Let's just have some fun. The weather's starting to get where it's going to be nice in the fall. Football season is here for the local high school teams, and the colleges will be right around the corner, and we want to see you there cheering on the home team.
That's right. And 50 years ago today, Light My Fire by The Doors was the number one song.
What?
Number one song in the nation. How about that?
Come on, brother. Light my fire.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
Here, we'll play a little bit of this here.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Yeah, The Doors.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
Can you believe that was 50
years ago? Oh, you're teasing me, Todd. Come on.
But that's not fair.
I grew up with KC95. Light my fire.
50 years ago. That must have been fun working at KC95, by the way, back in the day. I saw
unbelievable time.
Nick Mineo, they had a big party for him over there yesterday or today, and his parents, Cindy and John Mineo, were there. And Casey had a party for their intern. I thought that was pretty cool. So,
John Beck, Rick Bayless, let's do it, gang.
Yeah, and actually, it was. I think the U-Man was in on it, too. What a cool guy that guy was,
the
U-Man. He's a really good guy.
Donald Bush Stadium right now.
Right. Anyway, yeah, right now the Cardinals leading 6-5 in the eighth inning as we get ready to sign off on the Friday Night Sports Jam. Folks, we will see you next week at this same time, 8 to 10. We'll be moving into our new studios. We'll keep you posted. All the famous guys during the day will probably have you posted much more before that, but we're excited to be going along.
But the best is yet to come. Yeah. Never forget that.
All right, folks. Thanks to John Rudolph.
Thanks, all right,
Thank
John.
You, folks. See you next week.
Well, I'm never, ever, ever